seeing the symptoms, you have to really get at the cause. And remember, the cause can be invisible. You cannot just look at the outward cause. You know, people sometimes are too simplistic in their solutions. And you know, somebody has a gastric. Oh, that's because you didn't eat your meals in time. I don't eat my meals in time anyway. I eat only when I'm hungry. I don't get gastric. Right. So guess what the person's solution is? And they advertise to the world, publish, you know, a million books called How to Solve the World's Gastric Problem. Make everyone eat their meals in time. Then you have a secondary problem. People ask, what time is the right time? It's not going to solve the world's gastric problems. Because there are more causes than that. And you read recently the guy who won the Nobel Prize for solving the ulcer problem, stomach ulcer problems. And everyone keeps saying, oh, it's caused by emotions. And it is true. You know why? Now, remember, scientists are also not stupid. Those scientists who were 2-3 decades, for 30 over years, they say that it's the emotions that cause the stomach ulcers, they were also looking at it from the scientific point of view. Because they put enteroscopes inside and little things, and they could see when a person gets angry, all the blood rushes to the place too. They could actually see the cause and effect. But that was not the main cause and effect. They miss it. Even scientists can miss it for 30 years. Remember before that, the philosophers and scientists miss it for thousands of years? And we call the world flat. So scientists can miss it for 30 years. Even experts. Sometimes people use the word expert and they thought that just because they consult an expert, the solutions are done. I challenge you this, and this comes from experience. If you get 5 lawyers, they will not agree. You hire all 5 lawyers under you, they will have 5 different approaches. And they're all experts. In fact, this is how to emphasize most important fact. The more expert you are, the more you disagree. Because your brain can see things that people cannot see. While everyone is on point 1A, sub point 1, and sub point 2, you are already on quadruple sub down there. You already see those points. And you can see things which are different and disagree, which nobody else can see. The only thing that experts can do is to be able to give you more discussions. You still got to come back and make your decisions in prayer with God. With experts, you will only know more ways how you can get it wrong, more ways how you can get it right, but you still got to look to the Lord. Like the one of the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs says, in a man's heart are many plans, but God's counsel will be established. In the end, it's God's will that you have to seek. So in the end, what was the cause of the complaint? It was their growth. There were just too many of them. It was a problem of supply, demand, and service. There were more widows who need to be fed. And so they have a limited supply that can reach the people in time because they got limited workers to carry the thing or bring whatever help to them. And so the complaint was caused by the widows who say, where is my allowance? Where is my food? I'm hungry over here. There's someone on the left here dying too. Then what's causing the problem? So in 1A, growth could be, growth could cause a negative pressure. Because the wineskins cannot take it. The wineskins cannot take new wine. Old wineskin cannot stretch beyond what the new wine wants to expand. And as a result, you have structural pressure on your structure and on your whole system that has worked for donkey years, now doesn't work. Because it needs a new structure and a new wineskin to be in place. So that's 1A, that it's actually a growth problem. It's actually a teething problem. And all those people inside just happen to be human enough to complain. Put it this way, do you realize that in any democratic society, in fact in dictatorships too, if the people are unhappy and the economy is not doing well, it's very hard to get re-elected, and it's very tough for a dictator to survive. You got a lot of rebellions coming up wanting to assassinate him. If the people are unhappy, it's very hard to get on. Very hard to move on. And people will naturally be unhappy if they are just having their normal things that are not there. Where the food, clothing, shelter, family, peaceful things that people take for granted are not there, people will be unhappy. And look at it this way, which is point 1B. That unhappiness and that negativeness has a right to exist. It is just like if your leg steps on a thorn. Your leg has a right to say, ouch, it's painful down here. Because if your leg doesn't communicate to you, your leg can die or gangrene without you knowing it. You wouldn't know there is a thorn sticking on your leg, which is, if untreated, becomes infested with bacteria, disease, and sickness, and you wouldn't even know it. People have a right to cry for help, even if it's negative. People have the right to cry out if they don't have enough food, if they're cold and naked. If they're neglected, look at 1B. They do have a right to complain. Because how else will you know that there's suffering going on down there? Because in 1B, the complaint could be coming out from people who are actually suffering. What happens if they make a draconian law that puts all of us and says, it is compulsory for every person, man and woman, age 18 to 90, to serve in Iraq for 1 year. Whether you like it or not. Let's say there's a world war going on, Middle East blows up. Guess what? People will complain. Because it's too draconian. It's going to cause suffering. If suffering is caused and there is no cry for help, how will we know that something is going on wrong? So in 1B, there need to be that cry. There need to be that voice of complaint. Without it, we wouldn't know that we are doing wrong. Let's say you punch somebody and go bash somebody up. And the person doesn't say anything. Guess what? You have done something wrong. Person hasn't complained. You went away not realizing you have done wrong. Or let's put it another way. Let's say somebody comes from another culture to Australia. In that culture, they're used to putting women down. So they treat the women like slaves. So when they marry the woman, they treat them like slaves. Or when they relate to women in their work, they treat them as slaves. How will you know whether the person is doing right or wrong if the people whom he abused never complain? He will live the rest of his life as a devil without being arrested. So we realize that sometimes you need that. It's like a nerve center. It's designed to sense pain, suffering. And we all need a bit more positive attitude in our life. People don't simply complain. I know there are people who complain for everything under the sun. You know, there's always a percentage of that. No matter what you do, you cannot please them. But outside of those, if a normal person who never complains, you better put your ears up higher even than than Mr. Spock. It has to be as high as the donkey's ears. Yes, the king must have donkey's ears till you can hear the cry. Because you don't have to have donkey's ears, as long as you hear it's a donkey. But it's important to us to know in 1B that there could be a genuine complaint. It's more like a cry for help. Why did the Hellenists cry and complain? Maybe they cried at first. After crying, they got angry. You know, complaint comes from anger. So at first, it's just hurt. Then the hurt turns to anger. That's when the complaint starts. There's irritation and anger coming in. Then the complaint starts. It could be justified. That's a point 1B. And thank God the apostles took a positive approach. They look at it and say, well, I think we just need more help here. So they got 7 deacons appointed specially for this task. And guess what? The complaint ceased. The complaint ceased. Because there was a genuine problem that was there. So it depends. The next time you face with something negative in your personal life, in your family life, in your social life, in your business life, have a closer look. Is it trying to tell you something? Is it trying to tell you to change? Is it something that you could do something about? Is that a cry for help somewhere, hidden behind all the anger? Could be a cry for help. Cry for change. A cry that something is not proper, something is not right. That's always the proper approach to anything negative. And you remember, there's another case I just quote. When King Solomon died, and his son called Rehoboam was appointed to be his successor, they ruled over 12 tribes. All the tribal leaders came to Rehoboam and said, please lessen the load on us. It was tough living under King Solomon. He taxes so much. He demands so much of us. Yes, we are a great nation, but we need a breather. Can you be kinder to us? And if you will not be so heavy upon us, so make so many demands on each one of us, we will serve you.